In this story, several moms were asked to come in and do one thing. Describe yourself as a mother.
I'm a perfectionist, and so that's hard with kids.
There's definitely days when I have my doubts about my abilities.
Struggle with my temper.
I struggle with, like, how I react with situations.
I wish I knew how to, I guess, just calm myself before speaking to them.
I wish I was better at taking time to sit down and just listen.
I wish I was more confident in being a mom.
I'm not the most patient person in the world.
Patience.
Patience is far and away probably the biggest struggle.
I just want them to know just how much I love them.
A couple of days later, these moms came back to sit down and see what their kids had to say about them.
My mom is totally awesome.
He's fun to snuggle with.
Pretty, funny. She does cook a lot of food for me.
She's just unique. That's why I love her so much.
We go on dates together. Like, we go shopping.
She loves me a lot.
I have a lot of favorite things about my mom.
We like to watch movies together and color and stuff.
We go to church together. We volunteer together.
She is like my heart, I guess you could say, because she's that close to me.
My favorite thing is to jump on a trampoline with my mom. That's my most favorite thing, to go up high.
We like get ice cream or something and like you go to the nail salon and have fun.
My mommy's my hero. She's pretty and beautiful.
She is my hero.
She just will care about me and just always love me forever.
She's the best.
That's so awesome.
I always seem to focus mostly on the negative, and I guess I can walk out here and say that I'm doing something great and that my child is viewing me in totally different lenses as I view myself. So that's inspiring.
This is my calling. This is my job. This is what I love to do, and I will do it better and with love each and every day because those kids count on me and they love me for what I'm doing.
One more time, happy early Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmas, too. Me or you? Us? Okay. So for all of our moms and grandmas present, we have a gift for you. Yeah. We have enough for that? You sure? One, two, three, four, five. Okay. You get two. Watch for thorns. We didn't safety check these. Yeah. Wait. You sure?
Yes, honey. I don't want to.
Well, you're giving me one of these.
She said, I don't know about you.
Watch the thorns.
Hey. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to start on verse 4 this evening, or your apps, or we're going to have this on the screen too. It's really cool, kind of a trivia thing, but just kind of cool for me that Kim told me, and I'm not sure exactly how, I mean, I kind of know, but this I guess, is my life passage somehow, my life verse, yeah, which is really neat. But if you would... The sixth book, yeah. Because my birthday's in June. Sixth chapter, fifth day.
Chapter,
right.
And then fifth verse.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't remember how to do Deuteronomy or how it was that book. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's the sixth, yeah. Because it's the sixth, yeah. That's why. Because June.
Yeah, it's
June. Anyway, supposedly, yeah, because it's really a cool verse. Tonight's message is titled Generation to Generation, and we're continuing with the new series, Home Improvement. So starting in verse 4. You know, before I read this, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, we want to invite your Spirit to speak to us through your word tonight. Lord, as we look at what your word says, which I can share what your word says, Lord, but only you can apply it to our hearts and help us really understand what you mean and how it's supposed to impact our lives. So, Lord, I just pray for that for us. Your Spirit here would give us a sense of your word calling us and speaking to us. God, that you would illuminate our minds and speak to our hearts. And God, that we would know that you are the one this evening who has spent time with us and loved on us and guided us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want to put us in a different place for a moment. This, from Deuteronomy, is really a very famous passage. And if you would, for a moment, if you can, if it won't make you dizzy or nauseous or something, if you close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to imagine that it's a little over 2,000 years ago, and it's the time when Jesus would have been a little boy with Joseph and Mary, and they're living in Nazareth, and they've gathered at the local place of worship where God's word is read. Because Jesus would have heard these words over and over and over again every day of his childhood. And it starts out, I'll butcher the Hebrew, but in Hebrew, it is Shema Israel, Yahweh Elohim. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. You can open your eyes. The Jewish scriptures are the same as the Christian Old Testament, essentially. And today's passage by many people is considered the central passage in all of the Jewish faith. This passage is often referred to as Shema Israel, or Shema, for hear, hear Israel, the first two words there in Hebrew. And the Shema is a prayer that they pray, this passage, and it is the centerpiece of morning worship and evening worship in Jewish prayer services every day of their lives. The Shema is often the very first passage and probably was the first passage of Scripture that Jesus would have been exposed to as a baby. In every Jewish home, every Orthodox Jewish home, this is the first passage that children learn of Scripture. Even today in Jewish services and synagogues and in Jewish homes, this passage is heard more often than any other passage of Scripture. And this key passage we're going to see emphasizes the great importance of teaching Scripture to our children or our grandchildren. As Here's Hope grows, certainly it'll be a priority for us as we get into a place where we have more kids, that'll be something that we'll want to be very successful with, is making sure that we are taking the time to always look at kids, not as just somebody to provide something to do or to get them out of the way so the adults can do their thing, or, you know, that they are people who need the Word of God, just like we do. And so tonight we're going to talk about how we can effectively teach our children or our grandchildren, and really this is going to apply to everybody, but especially children and grandchildren, how we can teach them about God. Again, verse 4, starts out, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." And the Lord our God there, in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh, which is the personal name of God, Elohim, this translated God. The Lord is one. And it's interesting, if you look at the Hebrew here, that may be a little confusing for some of us, for Christians, who understand this concept of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, and yet it says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But even in this declaration, we see the Trinity here, Elohim in the Hebrew, where it says the Lord our God is plural. The Lord our God, plural, is one God, is the one living God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So here we're told to strongly and sincerely, authentically love God, that we're to love him above anyone or anything that he's created. These commandments that I give you today, and the most important of those commandments we've just heard, to just have a radical love for God, are to be on your hearts. So how do we get these commandments, especially loving God, how do we get this in our hearts? We learn the scriptures and hide them in our heart. Learn these well enough that love for God starts to well up in our hearts. Impress them on your children. And then it tells us to frequently meditate on the Word of God. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So our first big idea tonight is that we must model what we teach our grandchildren, our children, or really anybody that you have an impact on, anybody that you have a relationship with. You need to model for them what it means to have a relationship with the Lord. Model what you teach your children and grandchildren and others about a relationship with the Lord. And that begins with us receiving love from God. That means we come to him in repentance, and we come to him in faith, and we are forgiven of our sins, and that we are born again. And when we receive that love, that's what equips us to be able to give that love to others and to demonstrate it. So to put these commands into our hearts, our own hearts, is the priority before we can share that with somebody else. You know, are we in God's word? Are we worshiping him? Are we in prayer? Are we loving God and receiving his love? Because that's the first priority if we're to share that with others. We can't teach with our children what it means to love the Lord if we don't authentically, truly love the Lord. We can't teach our children what it means to humbly and reverently walk before God if we're not living that out ourselves, if we're not practicing it. Our children can't know what it means to have a spirit-filled, godly life if we're spending our time on other pursuits. No matter what we say, if we spend our time on entertainment and if we're spending our time on our pleasure and we're spending our time on our comfort, our children will not have a good witness of what it means to live a spirit-filled life. Our children need to see it. It has been rightly said that the Christian life is more caught than taught. And we want our children and grandchildren to catch what it means to have God's love in our life, and what it means to have his forgiveness, what it means to have his grace, what it means to be strengthened by his Spirit, what it means to live a life of worship and awe of the Lord. Teaching by example is the best way to teach our children. And truly, if we teach them any other way and they don't see it by example, it's hypocrisy, which drives them away from the Lord. If you want them to see the importance of reading the Bible, they have to see you reading the Bible. If you want to teach them the importance of a good prayer life, they have to see that you have a good prayer life. If they want to see what it means to have a Christian marriage, they need to see you supernaturally loving your spouse that goes beyond human love. They need to see God's grace and God's forgiveness demonstrated in that marriage if you're encouraging them to have that when they get married. The best way to make disciples is to raise them in a genuinely Christian home. Big idea number two. Teach your children and grandchildren often. This passage calls for teaching children or young people or young adults, whoever you have influence in your life to speak into, to teach them regularly. That means daily. Teach them on an ongoing, regular basis. Once a week in a church service will not ever fulfill this command. It never has. We are to constantly live out our lives seeing things through the scope of a born-again believer who knows God's word, who's submitted to God humbly, spirit-filled, walking with him, so that they can see that and that we're processing the world around us through that. We're responding to what we see with Scripture and with a dependence on the Lord, and they see that in our lives. They need to see how the word of God applies to their life because they're seeing on a regular daily basis how it applies to our life, and that we're living that out in our actions and they're hearing it with our words. And I, just to give you an example, to most of you, I won't ask for a show of hands, but a lot of you parents that are here or grandparents might remember having the sex talk with kids. And it's a little awkward. I don't know if, I mean, at least the first time you share that talk anyway, maybe a little uncomfortable. But you know that the world is just sending thousands of really distorted messages about love and about sex and about intimacy at them every day, all the time. And so if you don't take the initiative to share truth with them, all they're going to get is lies and distortions and some sort of twisted version of what it should be like. And so you've got to have that intentionality to do that. One talk from you, even a really good talk, is probably not going to be good enough. Over time, you're going to have to maybe have some other talks with them so they understand what the Bible says about the proper time and place and way of things as far as a sex life goes. In order to have that talk with them, though, you really need to have, or any talk, you need to have an honest relationship with your kids. We need to have honest relationships where our children can come to us and feel safe to ask us about anything, no matter what the subject is. They should be able to come to us and ask their questions. I read about a man who, his 8-year-old son came up and asked him one day about sex, and his jaw about hit the floor. But afterwards, he had a moment to catch himself and realize how great this was, and he thanked his son. He said, son, thank you for coming to me instead of going to your friends or the internet to ask me. And he was so grateful that his son, even though it was a little bit uncomfortable, felt that his dad was safe to go to with anything, even something like this, and say, Dad, what is this? What, tell me about this. So we need to make sure that kids do feel safe to come to us, that we have that kind of relationship with them. Jesus said that he has come to give us abundant life, and we believe that what the Bible says about every aspect of life is better than what the world says. It's always better. What the Bible has to say is always better than what they get other places. And so we need to make sure that we've got that ongoing relationship with our kids on a regular basis, daily, that they see the love of God and the approachability of God and the forgiveness of God in us so that they feel safe to come to us. Our third big idea tonight is that we need to teach our children and grandchildren in planned ways and unplanned ways both. Teach your children and grandchildren in planned and unplanned ways. And I think both of these are in this passage that we read. And part of that is family devotions. And I think that that's a starting point, anyway, to obeying what this passage says for us to have, that it is a beautiful thing for your children, even if they gripe and grumble and don't entirely appreciate it at this point, it is a beautiful thing to have times of family prayer and times together in the Word and talking about it. It doesn't have to be an hour and a half. but just consistently, daily, ongoing, to have those times together. And that's priceless. But along with that, there's also teachable moments, just living life on earth, where you get to speak into their situations, maybe something they're dealing with a friend at school, or something with a relative, or whatever, or a neighbor, whatever it may be, situations, relationships, whatever it is, and bringing to bear the Word of God, saying, this is what the Word of God says, but not only what it says, but this is how it applies to you, to your heart, to help you, to speak into the situation that you find yourself in right now. So we need to look for those teachable moments for our kids and help them to be able to respond and guide them to respond in ways that bring the Bible alive for them in their life. Our fourth big idea I might have got this out of order, sorry. Did I? Okay. Okay, that is it. I'm sorry. This is perhaps the most important of all these big ideas, and it's the why, really, for all of this. Our goal in teaching our children is to bring them to where they love God with all of their hearts. Heart transformation is always the highest priority, that they receive the heart of the Father, the Heavenly Father, for them, and that they respond in love for Him. It is not about behavior modification. Whether that is, I don't want you to do these bad behaviors, or here's the good things I want you to be doing and you need to be doing them. Not that those things don't have value, they do. And there are times where if they're going to burn their hand on the stove, they need to get a slap on the hand and told no. So it's not the behaviors don't matter at all. They do, but they are far from the priority. And actually, if we focus just on the behavior in a legalistic way, that's going to hinder their heart from knowing the Heavenly Father. And the opposite is also true, that if we don't bring to bear anything to do with their behavior, that's going to lead to legalism, which is also going to be a hindrance for them to truly know their Father, their Heavenly Father. So we need to make sure to have both. Certainly we need to have proper biblical boundaries. But the priority is always their hearts. We need to lead them to a point where they have opportunities to give their heart and surrender their heart to their Heavenly Father. And they need to see our hearts expressing God's grace and God's truth. There are crucial spiritual truths that we need to teach our children. We need to teach them, of course, the way to salvation. We need to help them to know Bible stories. There's a lot of good principles in those Bible stories. And we need to tell them what those Bible stories, how those impact their lives, the truths that are in those. But if your kids, even if they can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, even if they can quote that, if they have not got to a point to where they love the Lord from their heart, it's not going to benefit them anything to know those stories or to know the plan of salvation or to know John 3:16. It's not going to help them unless they have a heart for the Lord. And while we have a duty, again, to teach moral standards, biblical moral standards, it really doesn't mean much if they don't know that they are loved by their Heavenly Father. If we lead them to the point where they are ready to personally trust Christ, to where they're personally receiving the grace and the mercy that was shed for them on the cross, where they are filled with the Spirit and filled with love for the Father, if we do that, they'll get the behavior. The behavior expectations of what they should and shouldn't do will come in line. John 14:21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." So this love relationship with the Lord that we have and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, that gives us the power to make those good choices. That gives us the power to stay away from the bad behaviors. That gives us the power to choose the good things. And so as parents or as grandparents, that's what we need to teach. We need to teach our kids to love the Lord. And when they do that, they'll learn to obey his commandments. And then with the Holy Spirit in them, they'll have the power to obey their Heavenly Father. So as we get ready to wrap up tonight, I just want to encourage you to not underestimate, as grandparents or as parents, don't underestimate the power that you have to speak into young people's lives. Even young adults, whether it's young neighbors, somebody else's kid, nieces, nephews, whoever it is, you have the power to speak biblical truth into their life, and you have the power by your actions, by the way you live out a relationship with Jesus Christ and the way you live out the Word of God in your life, you can influence them more than anybody else. And so we need to be intentional about that. You, more than anything, are teaching them by your actions. You're teaching them by what you're doing and by what you're not doing. So teach them in intentional ways and model for them what it means to have an authentic relationship with Jesus for the next generation. You know, my prayer for all of us is that we might mature to the point, then we might grow to the point to where people around us, especially younger people around us, after a time would say that our lives aren't about us, that our lives are about Jesus Christ. You know, that's the end game for a mature Christian, to get to that point where people say that that person's living for Jesus. That's what their life is about. So before we finish with one more song of worship, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, Lord. And God, we know that your word tells us in Galatians that because of what Christ has done for us, because of him taking our sin personally upon himself, Lord, that it is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So, Father, we receive your word now. We pray that you would help us to live that out, Lord, that the life that we live in our bodies now is not our own, but it's life lived by the faith that we have in the Son of God, that we would live out a life receiving that love that was shed for us on the cross, Lord, and demonstrated to purchase us. And even as Christ gave his life for us, Lord, that we would give our lives back to him. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that well, Father. You know our frailties. You know that we tend to go our own way and get off in the ditch often, Lord. So I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, Father, you would help us to live this out better, not only for ourselves, but for the next generation, Lord, for the children who are watching us, and the grandchildren who are watching us, and the school children, and the co-workers, and the peers, for everybody who sees us, Lord, who go by the name of Jesus, that they would see something different, and that the faith that we have in Christ and the Holy Spirit that we have would demonstrate your love to them, and it would draw them to you, and that they would come to know you because of it, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name.